Once again, here we are on a Saturday morning. Time once again for a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Good morning, Ted.
Morning, Denny. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. I know every time it seems like we talk about the forecast, and I know it's almost a month we've been officially fall in the fall season, but now I'm looking at the forecast for tomorrow. It's going to be 81 tomorrow and Monday. What's going on?
I wish I could tell you. I just sell grape juice for a living. That's all I do, Denny. I don't know this meteorological stuff at all.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, or what else you have on your mind this morning.
Well, as a lot of people know, in the state of Minnesota, and I think even across the country, it's NEA weekend. And so a lot of people are out on holiday and kind of venturing out in the state, going to see whether it's, the kids are at home, so they're going out and doing things. And so I kind of thought, why not? Let's talk about a bit of education. And wine education is one of those things that people love to do, because it's a fun topic to talk about. It's so vast, so incredible. There are certain ways you can go about your wine education, whether it is buying books and reading, traveling, whatnot. But the best way to do it is to actually open up the bottle and go at it and taste at it. And so a lot of people like to do wine tastings at home. And in my opinion, that's one of the best ways to get educated about wine. As we always say, go get that corkscrew, open up the bottle, and let the adventure begin. Because there's something about it. You can do all the reading that you want. It's like reading how to learn to ride a bicycle. You're not going to actually learn how to ride that bicycle until you get on it and do it. And the same thing kind of goes for wine. So the best thing to do is to sit down and do a tasting. And it's always a fun way to get people together to do a tasting. And when you do a tasting at home, there's a couple few things to think about, a couple few things to prepare for. One is to develop the theme of your tasting and what area or what type of wine you're going to taste. Now, with that, you could do it as simple as just say, hey, we're going to try Cabernets. And so everybody who's coming brings Cabernets, or you as the host buy five or six different Cabernets or whatever and try it out. You can do it that way as far as a simple grape varietal. You could even get into, well, we're going to do a Sonoma County Pinot Noir from 2020. And so you depending on how you do that, you could have your guests, you give them that assignment. They have to go out and find those particular wines. But you bring them in, and the best way to do it is to have those comparisons side by side. Because the interesting thing about that is then you'll notice the true different characteristics of a wine. It might be the same grape varietal, could be made from across the street from one another, and you taste it side by side, and you notice the different flavors, the different characteristics. So it's a great way to really open your eyes and really experience wine, because you're tasting it. And like I said, I'd like to do it with the comparison. You have at least two wines to try side by side, because they'll really show those different nuances. You can get as fancy as having about six or seven wines to open all at once. But I think when you do two side by side, it's a little bit easier. You can kind of focus on it a little bit more. It's a nice way to do it. And then when you're planning those wine tastings, a couple things to think about are, one, which is very important, is your glassware. Now, nowadays, there's so many different types of glassware. You could even have Pinot Noir glasses all lined up. You can get really, really deep into the weeds with your glassware. Now, one thing that I would just say to make it easy, make sure you have at least two glasses and they're the same style or the same make of glasses. That way you can, it's a little less burden on the host, but the glassware should all be the same. So it's a level playing field for the wines, because nowadays they do build glasses that accent Pinot Noir or the different flavors of Cabernet and whatnot. So if you have a mixed match of glassware out there, it can be a little bit difficult and something. But you know what? It's actually, we've done glassware tastings where you do get a Cabernet glass, a Chardonnay glass, a Sauvignon glass, and like a Merlot glass. You pour the exact same wine in all four glasses, and you do realize that the glassware can affect, it does affect, how you taste those wines. But that's the one way to do it. And the interesting thing is, a friend of mine, I always kind of recommend too, if you're going to do a tasting, I'd say taste blind. And that means cover up the bottles, wrap them up with brown paper or whatever. A friend of mine literally called it his old sock tasting. He found all those mix-match socks that you have around your house and used those to cover up the bottle so you don't know what wine you're tasting. So that way you don't have any preconceived notions of stepping into the wine. Or if it's a group tasting where people are bringing those wines to the thing, you know, if you know which one is yours, you're probably going to be a little bit biased and select that one. Now, when you sit there and do those tastings, the one thing that everybody should always be is kind of be very open, you know, discuss it, talk about it, you know, and it's okay to kind of knock on the wine if you don't like it. You know, the reason being is you sit there, talk about those wines, well, why you don't like it, but then you can kind of accentuate why you like it. And the discussion begins. A fun way to do it as well is tell everybody when you do a tasting like that, bring two bottles. One bottle you'll open up and taste. The other bottle you kind of put as the trophy. So when everybody's done and maybe you do make a selection of which one is the best, that person who brought the best wine gets to take all the other wines home just to add a little bit of extra fun to it. You know, and it's just a great way to do it, a side-by-side comparison as far as tastings are concerned. And so what we did at Haskell's this week is we put together a 6 for $60. So 6 bottles of wine for $60, but we designed it to do an old world versus new world wines. Now, old world, quite simply, is Europe, the old world, whether it's Italy, France, et cetera, or you also have the new world, United States, Chile, Argentina, Australia is considered the new world. So what we did is we selected grape varietals to go against one another just so people could take those home, try it, and get a little education on that. The very first wine that we tried was a Touraine Blanc. It's a wonderful wine, 100% Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire Valley. Really nice, interesting characteristics to it, a little bit of green herbaceousness to it, to be compared against Fog Mountain Sauvignon Blanc. Fog Mountain comes from Napa Valley. It's a wonderful Sauvignon Blanc, but it's a great way to compare those two side by side. So it's and you definitely notice the different characteristics of the old world and the new world. And then next, we selected the little Cabernet. We have the El Paso de Robles Cabernet, which is from Paso Robles. Now, Paso has become a huge hotspot for Cabernet lately because the growing conditions are just right, similar to Napa, but the best thing is it isn't as high-end as Napa, so it's a very affordable Cabernet, very delicious. We compare that to a little Bordeaux, Le Pavillon. It's a wonderful Le Ville Pavillon, and it's a blend, has a little bit of Merlot, but it's dominated by Cabernet. But when you taste those two side-by-side, you definitely notice the oomph. And these particular expressions of Cabernet explain probably best old world versus new world, because the new world wine, the Cabernet, really juicy, really full, a lot of big, as they call it, the business of fruit bomb, and the Le Pavillon is a little bit on the lighter side, tad bit of elegance. Wonderful little wine. But then the last comparison is a blend, and we have an American blend called Obscured. It has a little bit of everything in it. It has some Zinfandel, it has some Cabernet, it has some Merlot, and then that's going up against a Côte d'Aron Le Verrier. And Côte d'Arons, we talk about them a lot. They're so fun, they're so delicious, a lot of characteristics. But the best way to do that is when you sit down, you get that 6 for $60, you sit down, have it side by side, taste those two wines, and let the adventure truly begin, because they're such fun wines, but it's a great way to learn about wines is when you're having those things, you know, again, against one another, just to see all those different characteristics and nuances and flavors.
I've said it before, that 6 for $60 is such a great idea and a great way to try. You know, I'm thinking what you said, Ted, at the top of the show. You can do all the reading in the world, but you're not going to taste any wine by doing just reading. You got to open up that bottle or those bottles. And I remember back in the old days, I'm not talking me and the stone tablets, but I'm thinking about when I liked a bottle of wine, I would, you know, maybe take a napkin or whatever I was handy and write down, you know, the vintner, et cetera, whatever information. Now, over the years, you can just take your phone out and take a picture of it like we did kind of in Sonoma back then, those trips. I mean, it's so easy now.
You're right, because, you know, the funny thing is even my notes that I, you know, like you said, when you're recording on an old tablet or whatnot, you would look at my notes, and I still have a stack of notebooks from tastings from years and years ago, and you look down. The funny thing is your first couple lines are real clear. It makes a lot of sense. And if you're the longer tasting, where you taste about 10 different bottles of wine, you know, you're finally word. You're just writing words of good, delicious, because you're having fun with it. And that's the whole thing when you're doing a tasting like that. If you're gathering up your friends, make it fun. Make it exciting. You know, you can, let's say if you did pick a theme like Chianti's, you know, then get into it as far as, you know, maybe make a little pasta dishes and do all that. You don't have to do a lot with the food. Usually you want, you know, if you're doing a proper tasting, you want more simple food, crackers or just bread to keep your palate fresh. You know, sometimes you will notice, like there's an old adage in the business, when selling wines, eat apples, when buying wine, use cheese. And the reason being, the cheese can actually cover up your palate a little bit and sort of mask some of the flavors and cover up some of the acidity. So sometimes, you know, when you're eating certain things while you're tasting, you know, it will affect that. But that's actually half the fun, because sometimes when you taste, you know, a simple, even marinara sauce with a Chianti, but if you try the Chianti by itself at first, you know, hey, this is very interesting. But then once you taste it with some food, it truly explodes and it redevelops and it opens up. But, you know, you're right, with all this technology we have, you can snap a photo of that particular glass of wine or that bottle of wine, you know where and what to do with it, and you can go bring that into a Haskell, show them the picture and say, hey, I had this at a great tasting the other day. You know, do you have this, and how much is it?
Absolutely. Well, I know we're up against the clock. We're heading to CBS, but tell us for a minute about the Haskells, if you would, Ted.
You're correct. And currently, not to mention, you can stop in and get a 6 for $6. Our fall wine sale is going on for the rest of the month right now. And the fall sale is going on at all the Haskell's locations throughout the metro area. So stop in and save big dollars on all kinds of wine. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekend. We have a Haskell's out in Minnetonka, Haskell's in St. Paul Highland Village, Haskell's down in Bloomington at Lowman's Plaza, Haskell's out in Excelsior. Right in downtown Excelsior, we also have a Haskell's of White Bear Lake, Stillwater, Faribault, Plymouth, and don't miss our super cellar up in Maple Grove. It's always a sight to be seen. And if you can't get into any of those Haskell's, stop by Haskell's.com 24/7 any time of the day and get her done.
Absolutely. Well, let's get it done next week. Let's do this again, Ted.
Yeah, okay, we'll look forward to that.
Me too. Thank you. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.